So we just said before we went to break, and much to the chagrin of Malzie, his head was in his hands.
Actually was.
That there was a revelation on the offensive line today at Steelers practice. Dan Moore was back. And yesterday, everybody was rejoicing that we would finally see the offensive line we dreamt about after the draft. Jones at left tackle, Fautanu at right tackle, Zach Frazier at center. Those three young guns.
Mm-hmm.
Moore comes back at practice. And then he's at left tackle. Broderick Jones practicing back at right tackle. But it sounded like after practice, Fautanu confirmed that he was the first team right tackle, which would make Broderick Jones more the backup tackle. So David Todd, who has worked in Steelers media for a long time and used to weekly spar with Mike Tomlin over game management and clock management issues, which I got a kick out of, sent out a tweet saying, Steelers injury news. Dan Moore at left tackle means we'll have the same offensive line. Dan at left tackle. PennLive.com.
That's who Nick is covering them.
PennLive.com, I think. Said, I would not be so sure about that first point, meaning Dan at left, Broderick Jones at right. Now, when he's not so sure, does he mean Jones will go back to left tackle and Fautanu at right, or is he saying Broderick Jones will go to the bench, which is why I'm happy to have our next guest on the air to clarify all this for us. Ray DePaldo from the Post-Gazette, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, lgkg.com. So what did Fautanu confirm today, Ray, that he was the number one right tackle in practice?
Well, I don't know about that because I was talking to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. I do know from talking to Troy yesterday that he confirmed he was taking first team reps. Guys, if I had to take my best guess right now, not based on any practice observations, but more based off of what Mike Tomlin said Tuesday.
Yep.
You guys remember he said we have a commitment to to playing Troy because during the training camp period where he earned the starting job, they felt like he was one of their best offensive linemen. And I'm paraphrasing what he said a couple of days ago. But so if I had to guess the way it's going to transpire on Sunday, and I think we'll have more clarity tomorrow, I would say Dan Moore at left, Troy Fautanu at right.
Wow.
Is Broderick Jones in the doghouse with one or multiple people over there, Ray?
I don't think so.
Justification? Do they think Dan Moore played? I know Dan Moore had a solid game, don't get me wrong, but do they think Dan Moore really is their better option right now, that their five best offensive linemen does not include the first round from last year?
I think it would be tough to bench Dan Moore after the game he had against the Falcons. And that's not to say that Broderick Jones had a terrible game, but I think if you objectively look at that game and you graded it, I think you would come away saying that Dan Moore had a better game. Now, Chris, I know what you're going to say. Broderick Jones is the future, and he is. I just think people might have to wait a couple of weeks for that to happen. And I will say this again. Over the past three seasons, eventually Dan Moore regresses to the mean. So it's good news either way for Steelers fans. Either he's going to regress to his previous mean and Broderick Jones is going to be in there, or Dan Moore is going to have one heck of a season and he's going to stay in the starting lineup. So I just think my own personal opinion is they're going to wait for Dan Moore to start playing poorly before they make that move.
That might explain the Moore part. So you're saying Dan Moore has a great, and I conceded this. I said, I think the guy's a human turnstile, but he played well against Matthew Judon. I thought he played a pretty good game, maybe one of his best games ever, as a matter of fact, with his back against the wall. But why do the inverse of what they did last year, insert the rookie right in? If Fautanu sat this week, Ray, no eyebrows would get raised if Tomlin said, we're going to make the rookie wait. So why bench Jones for Fautanu?
They feel like they can be better with Troy.
Do you agree with that? You're watching these guys. You watched them all training camp. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I would say pre-injury, before Troy was injured, yeah, I mean, he was out playing Broderick Jones, but they were actually, at that point, yeah, they were actually competing, and Broderick was kind of going from left to right. He was bouncing back and forth. So that's why they put him in there, Pony. He was the better guy, you know, in the last week of August and the first week, the last week of July and the first week of August. That's why they made that move that they made before the Texans game. So
then you can understand then why fans and Chris and I get agitated when the guy you traded up for in the draft in practice does not appear to be better than the guy you've drafted over the last 2 years and the guy who's been on your team for 15 minutes.
Maybe not on September 12th, but maybe that'll be the case on September 19th or September 26th. I don't think I'm going to be able to tell you anything that you want to hear today, Pony. And listen, maybe tomorrow I'll be wrong. Maybe on Sunday I'll be wrong, and Troy won't be in there with the starters. But that's just what my gut is telling me.
No, I want Fautanu in there, Ray, for the record. I also want Jones in there. No offense to Dan Moore. I just am tired of seeing Dan Moore. But I'm not going to belabor the point. There's other stuff to get to. I'm going to ask you about the quarterbacks on this team in maybe a slightly different way. How active was Kyle Allen at practice today? How much of a participant was he as far as the work he was getting?
I mean, Kyle took what guys in his position would take.
I guess I'm trying to get a sense, Ray, of I'm trying to get this sense here. I don't think Russell Wilson's close to being healthy enough to play, and I thought that was underscored, despite what was getting reported on Saturday, that he felt he was good enough to go against the Falcons, the fact that he was the third-string quarterback. And I'm sensing we're going to get a repeat of that on this Sunday's game.
Yeah, here's the way I'll answer it this way, because we talked to Russ, okay? I think Russ is going to be the emergency quarterback on Sunday in Denver. And, you know, today, I know you guys played back the interview. It seemed like today Russ was resigned to the fact that he was finally going to miss a game. Like, he kind of knows already the way it's going to go. And today, for the first time, at least with my ears, I heard him say it was a significant injury. And if you guys go back...
Man, he really... And they downplayed it in training camp, but he made it sound like what happened in training camp was worse than they said initially, Ray. I agree with that.
Yeah, he called it a pretty good injury, okay? And if you go back and look at Mike Tomlin's transcript on July 25th, the day after this happened, he said Russell reported some calf tightness, okay? Those are his words. Quote, unquote, tightness. We don't want a small problem to become a big problem. Yep. Well, here we are 6 or 7 weeks later, right? I mean, a small problem to me is like a week or two. When you get into six or seven weeks, we're talking like it's a big problem. And I think, I don't know what Russell's short-term future even looks like. I get the feeling that this could even extend beyond this week just based off the way he was talking today. So, for now, it's going to be the Justin Fields.
So, Ray, does that, like, that you see, so I sensed some of that, but then he said the comment about, you know, sometimes guys need to play dinged up, which made me think that was his way of saying, I'm not 100%, but I should be playing anyways. Do you get the impression that, like, the Russell Wilson Bowl, the game, the revenge game, that he knows that he's not healthy and therefore any kind of embarrassment that he might feel from not starting this game has gone by the wayside and that that's not an issue for a coach to navigate right now, Ray?
Well, I mean, I heard what he said about being dinged up and sometimes you have to play dinged up, but he also said we have to be smart and we have to listen to the doctors. And you know, he probably feels like on some level he can play, but just looking at his body language today and then taking him at his word for what other things he said today, I don't think he even believes that he could play on Sunday. So, like I said before, like just the look in his face kind of just looked like, yeah, this is what it is, and I'm going to be out this week. I mean, he didn't say that, but he said it in so many words. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, Justin's going to be the guy on Sunday, and it's going to get really interesting if he has a good game. I mean, Arthur Smith just said today he played very efficiently. He loved the way Justin executed situational football end of half situations. You know, if he plays like that again, then, you know, we're going to start having to have a conversation because he keeps winning games.
Ray, Patrick Queen, a groin injury, he shows up in the injury report. How concerned should fans be about him?
Yeah, I was asked in my chat about that, and Mike did not mention him after the game, and he did not mention him on Tuesday. But somebody asked me early in the week, are you concerned about Patrick Queen? And, you know, I kind of thought back to the game. I really didn't notice him all that much, and then I looked at the stat line. He only had two tackles, so maybe that explains a little bit of what went on in that game. You know, Peyton Wilson actually had more tackles. He played fewer snaps. But, you know, listen, Patrick didn't come out of the game. So maybe he tweaked something there. Maybe today was just a rest day. Obviously, tomorrow's the most important day of the week. If he's out there, even in a limited fashion, I think he'll play on Sunday. But if he's DNP again, you know, I think Peyton Wilson likely will get his first NFL start.
Ray, how close do you think we are to seeing Roman Wilson get in there after watching the wide receivers behind George Pickens do practically nothing against Atlanta?
I don't think we're close. I don't think this week.
Next week?
Listen, they need somebody like Roman Wilson to step up because, you know, Van Jefferson played like 50 snaps and had just the one catch, so they obviously need more production there, but it's kind of like the Flau Thomas situation. You know, he missed, you know, Troy missed about 3 weeks. I think Roman missed about 4.5 weeks, and it's just it's tough to come in and crack the rotation when you're not out there and you're not practicing. So we're basically, guys, we're talking about him being back to practice for a little more than a week. I don't think he'll be active on Sunday. We'll see what next week brings, but, you know, I don't get the sense that he's close at all.
Are we going to see more throws? And it's impossible to not see less, but are we going to see throws to the middle of the field on Sunday? Did you buy what Arthur Smith was selling, that it was Troy Polamalu 2.0, Jesse Bates, that kept Justin Fields from going there with the football last week?
Yeah, I mean, Bates is a good player, and Arthur Smith certainly knows him. So, and Mike Tomlin doesn't like to go to the high traffic areas either. So that made total sense that he would stay away from, you know, from the middle of the field in that game. I mean, this game, listen, Denver has a good defense. I know Justin Simmons isn't there anymore. He's in Atlanta, but, you know, they obviously did a pretty good job against Seattle for about three quarters of that game. So you're right. It's probably going to be impossible to do what they did against the Falcons. You have to take a few more chances. And I think that's where Pat Freiermuth comes into play a little bit more. I think, you know, talking about the number two receiver, you know, get Freiermuth involved a little bit more play action. Maybe he has 6 for 60 instead of, you know, 4 for 27, and maybe some of that sting goes away from, you know, what the passing game looked like last week.
Ray, anything we're missing that we haven't asked that you think is something worth watching, monitoring, thinking about going into this game on Sunday?
You know, I think Jaylen Warren is going to get more playing time. He looks better than he did last week, but Najee did so well that, you know, if they feel like they can, you know, like Arthur Smith said today, if they feel like they could do the blunt force trauma thing again, they just might stick with Najee. But it's good to see Jaylen Warren back closer to full health. It looks like Jaylen Warren looks like Jaylen Warren from last year, and that's a good thing.
Should we be expecting any tackle-eligible pass plays for Dan Moore Jr.? Are they going to get him out there and try to make him a part of the receiving game?
Yeah, I was going to say they
maybe let him run the ball, let him play quarterback if Fields falters. How about more Dan Moore? That's just what I want to see, Ray.
Well, wasn't it Al Villanueva in Denver? Didn't he catch a – is that an extra point or a touchdown pass he caught? Yeah. So
I believe it was an extra point. You're right.
Yeah. I know they lost that game, but maybe they'll bring that out of the cobwebs for this game.
Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette. He doesn't always say the things you want him to say, but he says the things you need to hear him say. Thank you, Ray.
All right. See you guys.
There you go.
Was he Batman?
Is that a Batman expression?
I feel like it kind of is.
He's not the hero you want. He's the hero you need.
I like that I tried to get like cute and try to figure out a way to ask about Kyle Allen, and I should have just said, Ray, do you think Russell Wilson's going to be the third quarterback? Because we got there soon enough anyway.
Total Request Thursday is next. The topic you picked for 5:30. First, a Nelly headline.